I mean, it was over already, but that'll just tie a nice little bow on a 12th straight win for the Baltimore Ravens to wrap up the season. They will finish the regular season 14-2. The Pittsburgh Steelers will come up short of the postseason. It wasn't going to matter because the Titans handled their business. Texans talked a good game during the week about playing. I don't know that how much it would have mattered, but Texans talked a good game during the week about playing their guys and the whole deal. But like that was really just out of like the small chance that somehow the Chiefs would have lost today. Mm-hmm. And then like you would have had to have played your guys for the chance at moving up to the number three seed and at least showing, pretending like you cared. Once the Chiefs won, that was over. They weren't doing that.
Texans had already listed people out and like doubtful or earlier, so it's kind of, I think they saw the writing on the wall.
So the AFC playoffs are now set as the Tennessee Titans will be the sixth seed. And now, as far as factually, by the way, this is the Project Game Day postgame show. I guess I should have mentioned that at some point. I'm Glenn Clark. He's Eric Arditi from Barstool Sports. We are in the live casino hotel studio. We're going to talk a little bit. I mean, there's not much to say about this game. It was a thing that happened.
It was wet. It was
not pleasant in any sort of way. No, anyway, turn the volume down for me if you don't mind. But it occurred, and hell, for the Ravens, they won again. And like when you're a team that's sort of, you know, doing your thing about swagger and all that, I don't think it hurts you in any way to go get one more win to wrap up the season. And your confidence certainly has to be boosted by the fact that, you know, like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is really good, and yet without, you know, the four people maybe that are most important to this offense, you would argue Mark Andrews. So let's do this list. Without Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, Ronnie Stanley, Marshall Yanda, Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I mean that's,
those are your top five most,
arguably the five,
right,
biggest players.
And yet they still gashed the Steelers defense in the run game today and had no real issues. And yeah, their defense played well again, but Duck Hodges stinks, so I don't know.
That guy won't play in my flag football tournament in a couple weeks.
Right, correct. He's not quite good enough. He's really bad.
Could sell hot dogs there, but he's not playing.
So that's all I can really say about like this game, because there's nothing worth really saying about this game. This was a game that, oh my God, this is like, so,
this is still happening?
Oh no, that was an incompletion. That wasn't a fumble. Jesus Christ.
Good God.
So it's a game that occurred, and it doesn't appear as though injury-wise that's all that really mattered today, right? Like,
that's
don't have anything significant happen. Marcus Peters was sort of hobbling a little bit at one point, but unless we learn something later, it appears as though they came out of this fairly clean, and that's what mattered from today's game. I think you got a reminder of the hope is that Mark Ingram is going to be fine, right? Like, the hope is that Mark Ingram plays in 2 weeks when the Ravens play a divisional round game. But it was a reminder that if he doesn't, like, you still have guys that are capable of doing this. You still have guys that you can win with when you're talking about Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. And while Mark Ingram has been excellent, has been the most perfect fit the Ravens could have ever hoped
it's
for.
It's crazy how well he fit.
It's unbelievable, right? Like, all those things are true, and they can be true, and yet also you can say, you believe that you could survive if he doesn't play that week. Mm-hmm. Now, you certainly hope that he's going to be back and all. You know, I don't know what the right way is to say all of these things and hedge all of your bets.
Yeah.
But today, Gus Edwards and Justice Hill looked as good as we've known Justice Hill and Gus Edwards to be capable of being.
Yeah, it's like you take the names and numbers off them, and you'd be like, yeah, that looks like Mark Ingram out there. Like, they looked fine. It doesn't. And again, like you said, everyone, it's like a preseason game. If they came out healthy, that's a win in my book. Like,
it
wouldn't have mattered if they won by 50, if they lost by 50. It's like, hey, you know, our key guys who did play, Hayden Hurst, some of those other guys, like, hey, they were healthy. You know, Marquise Brown, they're walking fine. Let's rest up and see in 2 weeks.
Yep, absolutely. Paul, the big story of today's game to me is that Evan Washburn wore a hat. I assumed his hair and styling products was impervious to the elements, but I guess that's not the case after all. Ha ha. He is a very good-looking man, Evan Washburn. Obviously, he's been a friend of ours for some time. We love Evan, and he decided to go with the hat. It has been miserable all day.
Dude, we were talking about it off air. I could not imagine going down. And I have friends. My sister came home and from San Diego, of all places, and was like, "Hey, we're going down. We're not going to the game. We're just going down to the city." It's like you're gonna go stand in the rain for fun?
I have no idea. Like, what? It's such a weird bit to me. But look, the place was packed. I mean, it was packed.
Yeah.
And for a game where Lamar Jackson wasn't playing, and the weather was miserable, and yet everybody was there.
My guess is there were a lot of Christmas gifts. A lot of I don't really want to go.
Let's give this to her for Sunday. Lamar's not playing.
Exactly. But again, it was Steeler week. There's always something in beating your rival. And you know, they didn't necessarily keep him out of the playoffs, but they kind of helped it.
And also, I got the sense this was more like a celebration of the season type of thing, where, like, we want to be there to sort of celebrate the entirety of the year.
And I had heard that on the radio a couple times this week, saying, you know, I know Lamar's not going to play, and they could throw up a dud, and, people were saying, I'll still have the time of my life there because, again, this is putting the stamp on a regular season of something that we've never seen in Baltimore, you know, with the Ravens. So,
I get that. All right, let's deal a couple of things. As now we know how the AFC playoffs, all the seedings are set. We're still waiting for seeding stuff in the NFC. But in the AFC, we now know it's Ravens 1, Chiefs 2, Patriots 3, Texans 4, the Bills 5, and the Titans 6. That's how the playoffs will separate. Paul says, in order of preference to me to play in the divisional round would be 1, the Texans. I just don't have faith in Bill O'Brien. Don't think he's a good coach. The Titans, their D isn't that good, and I'm not sold on Tannehill. I get it, but he's played like a monster. Mm-hmm. And then the Bills. So I guess I'm you most want to avoid. I guess he's saying that he would most want to play against the Bills at this point. And I think that's where most Ravens fans would be. That of those three teams, who would you most be interested in facing in the divisional round? Mm-hmm. I think they'd look at the Bills and say, yeah, I would rather take my chances with them because just based on the three offenses, they seem to be the team that would be least capable of battling it out with the Ravens for 60 minutes.
Yeah, they're not going to go point for point with them. And again, their defense, like we saw it a couple weeks ago, their defense, it's okay. It's good.
They battled the Ravens when they played in Buffalo.
It was another terrible weather game.
Windy,
yeah. And, you know, but.
And there was some flukiness to that game where, like, there was a weird call. And it allowed it to look close in the second half when it never really was that close. There was some flukiness to that game. I get why Ravens fans would look at the three opponents and say, of those three.
If I could pick, it would be the Bills.
It's just because they're.
The Bills.
It really is sort of that. The Titans have the thing going for them where they've been hot, where they've played really well. Obviously, they lost two games, but both of those kind of had some controversy to it. And they were still high-scoring games in which they put up a lot of points. I could see where the Ravens look at these three teams and say, that's the team that just doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
The funny thing being, right, like the Ravens played the Texans earlier this year and murdered them.
Unsafe.
But there's still the, okay, but yeah, that's Deshaun Watson, and he's got DeAndre Hopkins, and
it wouldn't surprise you if they came out and they did put up 40 or something like that. Like, they can strike.
They have the ability to do it, even if they didn't do it the last time.
Plus, J.J. Watt coming back. Who knows what he will be if he does come back.
I don't know what to make of that.
Test that man for everything, but that's, you know, if he does, it's a cool story, but again, I don't know how effective he'd be. No, I mean, I think kind of the same thing. Like, I said it all year. I don't think the Bills are good at all. I think Josh Allen stinks. I just don't think he's anything special. It's hard for me to see him. I just don't see him putting the team on his back and beating them.
Right. Like, I don't think that they can score 30 points if they have to. And I think that a team that's going to beat the Ravens in the postseason is going to have to score 30. I've said this for a little while. I think you give it your best defensively. I'm not saying that like you purposely don't try to stop the Ravens.
Yeah.
I think the reality is right now there is just no solution to it. Mm-hmm. Like what they're doing, they're too good at. They're too good at every level. Their offensive line is too good. Yep. Their backs are too good. And we all know the quarterback is too good.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're going to beat the Ravens, you have to battle. You have to do your damnedest defensively to make sure they don't score 60. Mm-hmm. Like to make sure it's not like the Rams game was.
Yeah.
To make sure that like you're in it somehow. Mm-hmm. But you better be ready and be up to the task on the offensive side of the ball where you're going to have to assume that I'm going to at least have to score 31 points to have a chance to win this football game.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think most of us have looked at the Chiefs the entire time, even when the Patriots were set to be the number 2 seed,
yeah.
and have said, Look, the Chiefs are a team that scare you because they can battle defensively. They're not as abysmal defensively as they were a year ago, as they were at the beginning of this season. Mm-hmm. They're not an abysmal defensive team. They've improved. They've battled a bit defensively, and they could come in and they could battle a bit defensively, and what we've seen is that their offense can score at will when they're clicking.
Yeah, and again, Mahomes looks healthy now, and with them having the bye again, that's like that worked out perfect for them because now he has the bye, can rest up another week. And yeah, I mean Tyreek Hill's healthy. That's the offense that again we saw it in week two.
Right.
They can go point for point with
three,
the Ravens.
Right. Yeah,
they
week
can,
three.
They can go point for point with the Ravens, you know, and more. So.
Right. Exactly. And that's why it is the Ravens fans have sort of said, all right, they're the team that scares me the most. Mm-hmm. Not saying that like they're the team that you think is the team to beat. I think the Ravens are the team to beat.
Yeah, yeah.
But are the potential playoff opponents? They're the team that scares you most because of that. Of these three teams, you look at the Bills and you sort of say, I just don't think there's a world in which they can do that.
Yeah.
Whereas the other two teams, maybe. The Titans offense is probably the hottest of the group.
Yeah.
You know, the Texans had a couple of solid performances in the second half of the season, but as far as consistency is concerned, the Titans offense has probably been clicking the most. Their defense is not there.
It's a work in progress and but yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, there's no defense out there that's going to absolutely shut down Lamar. Also, I thought it was weird today watching the Ravens fans like root against the Patriots. It's like, wouldn't you want the Chiefs to play another game?
And it is funny, man. Like
that was like the Ravens fans just being like, I hate New England so much, I want to see them lose. But then it's like, take a step back. Like I would rather have them play.
Well, there's two similar conversations, right? I think a couple of people have talked about this last couple of weeks where like it wouldn't have been the end of the world to some folks if the Ravens had lost to the Steelers today and that kept the Titans out of the playoffs because they just think that the Titans could be a threat, whereas the Steelers are no threat whatsoever.
If the Steelers had got in, they would be the team where everyone would be chomping at the bit. Like,
let them play against
here.
Them.
Let
exactly
Duck come
right.
Here again, yeah.
So if the Titans are the sixth seed, not saying that Ravens fans are like fearful of the Titans, and they shouldn't be yet, but you think they have some chance if the Titans were to somehow go into New England and beat the Patriots next week, you would give them a 20-30% chance of coming to Baltimore and winning the game. Whereas
I wouldn't throw it completely out.
Right, whereas the Steelers, you give them like a 10% chance
you
at
go,
best.
You go,
all
right, now we have two bye weeks. Like
essentially,
that's, you know,
right.
That's what it would be.
And so there was that weird feeling where you're like, it might not be the end of the world if the Steelers get in, despite the fact that we hate them. And I get what you're saying about the Patriots and the Chiefs situation, which
it's
is...
like you want the Chiefs to have to play more games, you know.
And have to go to New England, right? Like, I know that you're sort of playing with fire, like rooting for the Patriots to be your opponent in the AFC Championship game because
weird to say.
It is Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and like you just never know. But like this Patriots team just is not those Patriots teams, period.
And they
haven't
haven't showed, like, it would be different if they came out the last 3 weeks, like, you know, Tom Brady's thrown for 350 and they're throwing 35, and you go, oh, that's right, they remembered it's December, they're clicking now, and you know,
sure,
it's on.
Well, there were a lot of Patriots fans that wanted to believe that after one game against the Bills, and it's just that's not who they are. Mm-hmm. They're not that team at this point. So it was a weird feeling. We're like, yeah, you want the Patriots to lose, but now the Chiefs' path to the AFC Championship game just got that much easier.
Yeah, and like I said, like as a Titans fan, I was like, oh, they're going to New England. Okay.
Yeah, you'll take your chances, sure. Right? You'd far rather that.
Look up ticket prices
City,
right now.
Obviously. Look at you. All right, need groceries today but don't have time to shop? Order online with same-day pickup or delivery at Wise Markets. Wise to go online. Now that's convenient. You're a neutral observer, you know, obviously not necessarily being a Ravens fan, just somebody who watches because this is where you are and you do media stuff, things along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
What at all would you be afraid of or nervous about or fearful about as the Ravens go into the postseason? What at all do you say this could be the thing that ultimately ends up catching up to them or costing them somehow, some way?
I mean, obviously, number one, it's some fluke injury. If God forbid they play wherever, like we talked about, the field got soaked today.
It was awful.
It looks bad at the end of the game, and you know any field would. So they have 2 weeks to get it ready or whatever. Say you know Lamar comes out first series of the divisional round, plants, you know, gets caught, boom, goes down.
Well, yeah. So that,
obviously
clearly,
that's number one.
Right. Lamar specifically is your number one. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way that he were to, and we'll knock on every piece of wood that we can possibly find.
I guess the next thing would be if some team team did find a way, like the Chargers did last year, to contain Lamar and make him throw, and you know, and they do shut down the tight ends. You know, it's like, is, I don't know if anyone is necessarily scared of Marquise Brown and the wide receivers right now, but again, I don't see that happening. But that would be the thing where, or you know, I'd say Andrews re-aggravates an injury, and it's like, all right. You know, and I know they did that in the Buffalo game, but that would be my biggest, because that's probably their biggest weakness is the wide receiver, wide receiving core.
Like, that's a conversation that we had maybe at the midway point of the season that we haven't had again since then, because I think we've just sort of commonly accepted that the reason why teams haven't tried to show the seven defensive back look is because they know that Lamar is good enough as a passer at this point that he could still beat
it,
right?
Now he can. Last year in the playoffs, he wasn't.
Right. But. Like, I think that's been a commonly accepted theory, at least locally, if not maybe with more people around the country, is that we don't need to ask the question of why aren't teams throwing the seven defensive back look at the Ravens, because we know why they're not doing it. Yeah. They're not doing it because
they don't want to get embarrassed.
It's deference to Lamar Jackson. It's saying we need to keep our base defense out there, because, like, we need to make sure that this guy doesn't, you know, maul us to death if
he doesn't Rams game us.
Right, like, that's, correct.
You know.
So I don't know that I've always been on board with that just being that simple of a solution. I think that that's been too tidy for me.
Yeah.
Whereas I've still kind of wondered, hey, like, yeah, maybe, but why wouldn't you at least do it to try? Now, my argument would be, why wouldn't you do it in the regular season when if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Your season's not over. Like, this argument's been made by people that, like, well, they're going to save that for the playoffs. Well, like, why save it for the playoffs? Why save it for the playoffs when, like, if it doesn't work,
then you're like, oh, crap, what else do we have in the
You're effed. Like, exactly right. Like, you fired your last bullet already. You're sitting there holding a gun that you can't fire anymore. Right. So I've kind of had this weird feeling of, like, why wouldn't a team try it? Just to
try it. Why wouldn't the Browns try it, or the Bengals, or, you know, someone like that? Again, like a lost season.
Yeah, for the
know.
Sake of saying, hey, we beat the Ravens. For the sake of saying, we beat the MVP. We beat Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, like, we put, and that's the big
thing.
And if
it doesn't work, sure, it doesn't work. We weren't going to beat him anyway.
The blueprint. That's what everyone loves to say. You know, we have the blueprint now to beat him. And I don't know. I mean, I know if anyone's scared of the wide receivers, but with an offense like this, it's like, hey, you know, you don't have to be scared of them, because there's a plenty of other weapons that they
right.
can use and,
correct.
And, you know, gash you with.
Correct. So, I mean, like, I struggle with the one thing I struggle with is the what we saw the 49ers have success with in running the ball outside.
Yeah, the
that's
edge,
the
edge
one
rushing.
Thing that makes me nervous moving towards the postseason is now it's got to be a really complete team in order to be able to do this. Like, the 49ers were a very complete team at that point. They've been dealing with some injuries since then.
And again, the weather kind of went into that too.
Yeah, absolutely,
it was like a game like today.
It was a rough day, absolutely. Yep. Not quite as miserable as today, but it was a rough day. Where you need the perfect set of circumstances, and still that wasn't enough for the 49ers to be able to win that game, right?
They almost played perfect then.
Area where the Ravens kind of looked vulnerable, was teams getting away from the dominant defensive line and saying, we're going to run to the outside. Now, it helps the 49ers. They have George Kittle to be able to do that. Yeah. Not everybody has that advantage.
Big blocking tight end.
So that's the one thing that would be of concern to me, is a team that's capable of extending drives, keeping the Ravens' offense off the field, because they can run the ball to the outside. Nobody's been able to run the ball to the middle of the field. It's just not happening. You're not running the ball to the middle of the field, not since the Cleveland game.
Yeah, I was going to say they did it the one game, and, and they've been completely
since
different.
Since the defense has been revamped, and since Brandon Williams was back on the field.
Got his ear ripped by
Right. I mean, I have no idea if the two things are related, but he wasn't out there for that game, and he's been brilliant since then. So there's that. But since that point, nobody's had success doing that. But the 49ers showed that there was a potential blueprint in running the ball to the outside, extending drives, limiting how much Lamar and the offense were on the field, and giving yourself a chance that way. It takes a really perfect set of circumstances in order to be able to pull it off. I don't know if the Texans can do that. I don't know if the Titans can do that. I don't know. I mean, look, Derrick Henry's been a monster.
Yeah.
You know, there's no doubt about that. But I don't know if those teams are complete enough that they would be able to do that.
To have that mauling offensive line that can do
right.
that. Yeah.
Right.
I guess another thing real quick would just be, like, the pass rush on them. Like, if they can't get to Mahomes. And I guess the Judon's, I thought he's played well all year.
Been great.
And
he's
even
been
Ferguson
great.
The last couple of weeks is,
you know, he had
a
stretch
slow
where he,
uptick,
right.
and he's kind of leveled
off
again.
Yeah, he had a stretch where he was a factor for a little bit, and that kind of, like, has plateaued.
He got the sack monkey off his back, I think, and then plateaued again. But again, I mean, if, you know, Say they play Mahomes and he's just back there with all day to throw, then it's, you know, that's obviously another big thing.
It's going to hurt you no matter how good your secondary is. All right, we'll continue to talk about these things and more as we get ready for the playoffs, which get underway next week. Obviously, the Ravens won't be playing for 2 weeks. We should find out soon the schedule. They normally don't wait until the end of the Sunday night game in order to put it out there. They normally, like, put it out with the, you know, this game could be here, this game could be there.
But do you think that, will they do that, since the AFC is complete and the NFC is, and you think they'll do AFC first and then, or I think they're going to, it would probably make sense if they waited. I don't know. And
I just
again,
don't
that
know if
TV
they
want to
wait.
Thing.
I don't know if they want
to
wait till the end of the night.
Tonight.
I don't know if they want to wait till the end of the night. We'll see. But I will talk more about that. I have a hypothesis on what's going to happen with the Ravens. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back in. This is the Project Game Day postgame show. Ravens beat the Steelers 14-2, the best regular season in Baltimore Ravens history, as the Steelers, not that, is the best way that I could go about explaining that. Not their best season, not a good season, just a miserable, miserable season, and boy, is that fun to say and continue to repeat and repeat and repeat forever.
Remember when they were saying Mike Tomlin, Coach of the Year, over...
Yeah, yeah.
That was, what,
I remember that
ago?
Conversation.
3 weeks ago.
That was dumb. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Stan the Fan. You know we're all hoping for a special season out of our football team. When it comes to dining out casually and affordably, I know a place is special every season. The Costas Inn at 4100 North Point Boulevard. Not only are they known all over for their great steamed crabs and crab cakes, they have a couple specials you want to keep in mind. Monday night is crab cake night. Tuesday night is ribs night. Wednesday night is steak night, partnered with half-priced bottles of your favorite wines. And Thursday night is lobster night. So check out the Costas Inn this football season, and you may come back whatever the season. That's the Costas Inn, 4100 North Point Boulevard, 410-477-1975.
Need groceries today but don't have time to shop? Order online with same-day pickup or delivery at Wise Markets. Wise to go online. Now that's convenient.
This is Stan the Fan for Glen Burnie Transmissions, located right in the heart of Glen Burnie for almost 60 years. If you suspect you're having a transmission problem, GBT can save you hundreds of dollars over taking it to the dealers for a repair. Make an appointment for a free diagnostic and estimate. Call GBT at 855-728-1841. Their mission is simple, to provide excellent service at a reasonable price. Go to their website at gbt-online.com to check out all of the five-star reviews. Let my friend Mark Schwartzman and his GBT team take the troubles out of transmission troubles. Call them today at 855-728-1841.
Respect. It's more than a word. In the U.S. Army, it is one of our core values, earned through selfless service to our nation and making a difference both at home and abroad. On the Army team, respect is earned daily. And now, in addition to earning respect, you may earn up to $40,000 in bonuses if you qualify. To learn more, visit goarmy.com/bonus or call 1-800-USA-ARMY, paid for by the U.S. Army.
Catch all of the action at your neighborhood Glory Days Grill, where we have tons of TVs to catch every moment of every game. Enjoy $6.99 burgers on Mondays, $5.99 nachos on Thursdays, and drink specials throughout the season to help you cheer on your favorite teams. Come in today and try something new from our seasonal menu, Glory Days Grill. Great food, good sports.
Eric, you saw something really cool before the game today, right? You saw the video of our buddy Bradley Bozeman showing up, rolling up to the stadium today like he was Santa Claus. He was rocking his Orioles Bozeman jersey that he wore to throw out the first pitch, and he was giving away to people that were hanging out near the parking lot this incredible MVP's T-shirt.
It is an awesome shirt.
It's a really great shirt, right?
Graphic.
Like, it's a really cool shirt. It's a really cool graphic. The idea of the shirt is twofold. One, it's to celebrate. I mean, like, we've talked all year about how good the offensive line has been. The offensive line has been excellent. And I want to give more love, because, like, we've talked a lot individually about Marshall Yonge, and we talked
Ronnie
a little
Stanley.
Ronnie Stanley and Orlando Brown. And when Matt Skura got hurt, I think a lot of people were quick to praise how well he had been playing. Bradley Bozeman has been playing excellent football all season, on top of the fact that he's a great dude.
It's like, one of the, like, you don't hear his names, and it's like, good.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you want.
He's been awesome this season. And
great guy, too.
He's just such a good dude.
I met him the other night. I know you've had the relationship with him. I met him and his wife the other night.
They're incredible people. They're incredible people. So the first reason why we did the shirt was to celebrate the offensive line. It's to say we want to do something to celebrate how well this unit has played all season. It's been incredible. And the second reason we did it is because we also want to lift up what Bradley and Nikki are doing. The Bradley and Nikki Bozeman Foundation is awesome. They're going around the country speaking to kids in schools about the importance of not bullying each other. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing testimony when you hear them talk about it, because you see big old Bradley Bozeman, who's a guy that you would never want to F with, and you hear him talk about how he was bullied growing up, and you're like, what went behind that? And they like always talk about, hey, what you're seeing is the finished product. You didn't see what we looked like when we were kids, and we were awkward, and we were gangly, and like, you know, the whole, I'm like, all right, I get it. You know, like, I get what you're saying. Like, I understand it. And he's like, so they've decided to commit to this. Nikki, of course, was a really successful college basketball player at Alabama mm-hmm. as well. And so they're going all over the country talking about it. So we've got this shirt, the MVPs, the Most Valuable Protectors. It's a cool shirt to benefit mm-hmm. the Bradley and Nikki Bozeman Foundation. That's where the money's going. Go to BozemanShirt.com. Bozeman, B-O-Z-E-M-A-N. shirt.com and get yours. We got them in white and gray. You'll have them in time for the divisional round matchup. BozemanShirt.com. Celebrate the awesome O-line. Celebrate what Bradley and Nikki Bozeman are doing in fighting bullying. It's a really cool thing.
Are they taking the RV around? Is that how they're
not taking their own RV. They're taking a different RV around the country. They're going to anchor their RV where they live. Here at home.
Hunk it down somewhere.
Yeah, they're going to anchor that back in, I think it's Eldersburg where they're where they're living, and they're going to take a different RV around the country. Nice. So, yeah, it's a cool thing. Really, really cool thing. All right, this is a good question. Paul, I want to know how surprised we were about the Marcus Peters contract yesterday. Slightly on the Marcus Peters side of things, as I always talk about, when you're a player who's staring down free agency in the NFL – there is very little reason for you to avoid free agency. There's mm-hmm. very little reason for you to do,
especially a top cornerback who's seen, you know, some
and is playing some great phenomenal football, right?
And you've seen some huge contracts thrown out there, you know.
So on that side of things, I'm not surprised the Ravens wanted to do it, mm-hmm. given the fact that he's been a good fit, given that they have some money. I'm not surprised the Ravens were when they made the trade, they probably wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that Marcus Peters and his side didn't say, give me another.
Let's hold off till after the playoffs.
And let me see just how much money team. Now, look, you know, tampering is happening at all times. Mm. Marcus Peters' agent at this point has a feel and a sense for the types of deals that might be available to him if he hits free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not giving that up. The question becomes, do teams, as they get closer to players actually being available, suddenly say, all right, you know what? We'll give you silly money. Mm-hmm. We've decided we were going to give you a good contract. Now we're willing to give you silly money. And that's what you're giving up by signing now. So from that side of it, I was surprised. You know, there's no way to have a negative feeling about it if you're the Ravens. You start doing the, hey, could this cost them someone else bit? Like, could this cost them Matt Judon? Could this cost them? Like, we can have those conversations.
Yeah.
But signing up a good football player who's played well for you for a 3-year deal that's mm-hmm. not really breaking the bank, I don't know how anybody.
He's also been a problem everywhere he played except for here so far. Like, you haven't, you know, he had the one thing in Buffalo where he was drinking the beer, and I don't think anyone hated that.
Right, yeah.
But again, it's like, you know, it seems like Harbaugh can control those type of guys, it seems like. And, you know, it's like, hey, man, again, winning cures a lot of things, so. Maybe he took less money to stay here in a situation where he can go up against some of the best receivers in football, you know?
I mean, I think a lot of people have alluded to the idea that, like, this thing that's happening here is something that's enticing, mm-hmm. that it's – you kind of get drunk on it a little bit, right? Like, when you're somewhere and you win and everyone is having as much fun as the Baltimore Ravens mm-hmm. have had for the entire time that Marcus Peters has been in Baltimore.
Why would you not want to
like,
be?
Like, this has got to be as much fun as he's ever had playing the sport, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is – it's joyous. It's not just that they're winning, but everybody seems to get along. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere is great. And look, winning does that. Like,
winning 12 in a row will make you –
few cases of, like, a 2-14 team where, like, the culture is just unbelievable. There's very few cases of a 14-2 team where there's a miserable culture, right?
Redskins,
like,
culture is damn good.
I've heard that before. Yes, I've heard from Bruce Allen. Yeah. They have a damn good culture.
Yeah, damn good.
But, like, when you're around it, when you're living in it from mm-hmm. day to day, you can kind of get drunk on it. You can kind of have that feeling of, like, dude, just go ahead and sign me up.
Yeah.
Because this is how I want my, like, professional life to feel.
Mm-hmm.
is the way that I've been feeling for the last little while.
Yeah, again,
so.
maybe he told his agent, you know, hey, whatever they offer, you know, as long as it makes me comfortable, I'm good with it. I want to be
if
here.
If you know that it's competitive, if you know that it's about
what... Yeah, they're not signing 3 years, $4
million. Correct. Like, if you know that's about as well as we could do, if we were to hit the open market, then just let's just do it.
Yeah.
Like, let's just do it because this has worked for me. Mm-hmm. For me, this has been a perfect fit, so I want to be here. So,
and again, it's not like this is like a one and done. Like, I mean, there's really no team in the division that's on the rise. I mean,
the Steelers have to figure out if they've got a quarterback at some point.
And even if they do, Ben comes back next year, and then
It's gonna be awkward as hell. There's gonna be an absolute awkwardness to that. There's no doubt.
Especially when Duck Hodges is selling hot dogs at Heinz Field. What is that? I mean, how is that gonna make him feel?
If that.
He may have to do it at PNC Park.
Scott says, "What about Marlon Humphrey getting an extension?" I mean, like, Marlon Humphrey's not a free agent until 2022. And with those rookie deals, you can't do anything until the fourth year. Mm-hmm. So it won't be now. It would be after next season that they would sit down and have the conversation. So, the third year is when you can do it. Look, they'll sit down and have that conversation, but I think that's something that they'll prioritize. That's prioritize.
He seems like a guy who they're going to say, you know.
Yes, let's do whatever we got to do in order to make it happen.
Keep him here.
Right. But Judon's the one. Judon's the one, obviously, that's going to free agency now that you wonder if maybe they kind of know. Like, they've already done their due diligence, mm-hmm. and they know that Judon's going to get
a deal. Too hefty.
That they're just going to look back and say, look, dude, we'd love to have you. It's
not going to work out money-wise.
Yeah, we're just not going to do it. And, like, that's terrifying because he's been their pass rush mm-hmm. this season. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that I know that or even that that's my strongest feeling. I'm saying there's a lot of that. It could be that the knowledge of that leads them to say, well, let's make sure we get Humphrey done or get Peters done as soon as possible mm-hmm. So that we can sort of go after
see where our money is after this. Yeah,
exactly.
Because
right.
I mean, it's like what Za'Darius Smith did last year. It's like he almost played, you know, and it's not a bad thing. He played his way out of Baltimore, but Judon's played really well. But
some people have argued he's played so well that
should keep him.
That even if the money's insane, you say we're going to do that because we got somebody has to stick around at some point.
Yeah,
we have to have a pass rusher to build around. And maybe Matt Judon isn't the best pass rusher in football.
Yeah, he's not Michael Strahan.
Right, but he might be getting set to get paid like that because so few of those guys come up mm-hmm. for free agency and get the opportunity. So he might be about to get paid like a top three pass rusher in the NFL.
Yeah, and again, I mean, all it takes is one team. All it takes is the Bucks to say, hey,
like somebody
we'll
who
give
has a boatload
you $75
right.
million. Dollars. And he's like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll go to Tampa.
I mean, it might be more than that. That's the crazy part. It might be more than that now.
All right, what did Za'Darius get?
71.
He gets
right? It was. Oh man, now I'm gonna. Oh whatever. All right, let's really quickly. So we're gonna get the schedule at some point. My hypothesis is that the Ravens will play on Saturday of divisional weekend, and there's two reasons why that's my hypothesis. The first reason is because you do want to try to show deference to the number one seed that they would get the advantage of an extra day off.
Mm-hmm.
That in getting ready for an AFC championship game, if you had the best record in the NFL, you kind of earned the opportunity to get whatever advantage there could be. And the first advantage is that you would play a team with shorter rest next weekend. And the second advantage is that you would have the extra day of rest to face, if assuming seeds hold, to potentially face the number two seed in the AFC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first reason why I think that. It hasn't always been the case. It's not as simple math as that.
I'm trying to think. When the Ravens and Titans played in, 2008?
When the Titans were the number one seed.
I was going to say they were the number one seed.
That was a
Saturday night game. So and that just pops off the top of my head. I'm just thinking, if it's the Patriots and they get that Saturday game, I'm sure you would have heard.
And I think
like,
the Patriots have had a few Saturday night
games.
Have
they? With the Rave? No, they. I'm thinking of the
They never played the Ravens in the
14 game. The divisional round.
That was against the Ravens?
Yeah,
that was a wild card round
game. Yeah, yeah.
That was a wild card round game where the Ravens went up and beat New England on the road.
Because I think that was the last time they weren't.
They didn't play. Right. So there's that. The second part of it is that the idea of New England-Kansas City, which is you assume seeds hold, New England, Kansas City is your big, sexy Sunday afternoon national TV game that you want in your best broadcast
that
window.
That has the TV people absolutely drooling.
And I don't know if that's going to be CBS or NBC, because I think NBC still has divisional weekend game.
I think so.
So if they get priority, that would be the game that they would want. They would want that game for Sunday. If CBS, if it's first choice as a game for them, they would want that game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why I think this ends up playing out that it's Baltimore on Saturday, because Baltimore against any of the three teams they could be playing, the Ravens are must watch. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson's a star, but Buffalo, Houston, Tennessee,
it's not.
They just don't have the name brand matchup value for the
star
networks
power.
That Pat Mahomes versus Tom Brady would have.
Yeah.
And obviously it's no guarantee that it's going to be Pat Mahomes versus Tom Brady, right? Mm-hmm. It could prove to be Pat Mahomes versus Buffalo or Pat Mahomes versus Houston mm-hmm. if it were to work out that way. It can't be Tennessee, Kansas City now.
Yeah.
If Tennessee were to win, they have to go to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start making the schedule, you assume that the seeds hold, and that possibility of an enticing Brady v. Mahomes.
It has to be a Sunday.
That smells to me like it has to be a Sunday.
Yeah.
So I am convinced that the Ravens will be playing on Saturday in two weekends. Now, whether that's Saturday at 4 o'clock or the night game.
I was going to say, they do 4-8 or 4-7:30, then they do 1-4 on Sunday, right?
I would think it would be the night game.
Yeah.
I would think that would be that whoever has that Saturday night game, they say it's a little bit better of a broadcast window than Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when they want that game.
Yeah, that
would
make sense.
So if I was a betting man, I'd be betting on that. Now, God knows what thing I don't know about. That
schedule could
be
out right now. And
right.
Don't, yeah.
But that's what I'd be betting
on. And then
on.
I know the AFC Championship game is that's the next Sunday. It's
they're the
AFC's
first game
early
this year.
One. Yeah,
they're the first game this year. Yep.
They just rotate that? Is that just a...
Yeah, they've always done... You would think that it'd be based on if there's a game on the West Coast, you would want mm-hmm. that to be played a little bit later, but they've always just sort of rotated. And that's why the first game doesn't kick off until 3, so that even if it's a West Coast game, that's at noon.
Still gives you time.
Pacific time.
Makes
exactly
sense.
Right. So that's what I got, man. You got any other thoughts to wrap up the regular season? Obviously, it's been amazing.
Yeah,
there's no question
about
that.
It's always the quickest 17 weeks.
Dude, isn't it so depressing?
It's unbelievable. I remember every single Sunday, but I can't remember what I did yesterday. I remember every game.
Not playing fantasy football this week. It really hurt me.
I loaded it up on DraftKings.
Did you?
So
I mean,
much,
I get it.
So
I get it
much.
Because it really is a withdrawal feeling.
I'm like, I need something. Even week 17 DraftKings, where I'm like, ooh,
You have no idea who's playing.
Exactly.
You have no idea who's trying, and you're
Sam
still
Darnold.
Like,
yeah,
right. Let's go for it. Right, no doubt, man.
Stack Sam Darnold, Jameson Crowder, and Robbie Anderson.
And look, around here, we're expecting to still have a couple of, if not three more. Games left, but it's still that depressing feeling when there's just not football on.
I go to ESPN and it's my app, and it's here you finished eighth. And I'm like,
right.
Oh, crap.
Oh no, there's the thing tomorrow night that there's not going to be a football game.
Oh yeah,
to watch.
It's going to be weird.
It's just
I'll be sitting in front of my TV I guess I can watch The Office again. I don't know.
That's what you got.
I
think they're playing the Orange Bowl tomorrow night. So if you really want to watch
Florida
and Virginia, I will pass. I will pass.
For me,
doesn't yeah, exactly right. There's nothing for me. All right, so that's what's up. We will be doing Project Game Day in the postseason. I don't know any of the details yet. Part of that is just we don't know when the games mm-hmm. are officially yet. So we will get you more details coming up soon. Appreciate y'all supporting us throughout the course of the year. Eric, you're on Twitter at EDD22,
yep.
EDITTI22, and of course BarstoolSports.com. Mm-hmm. Everybody can see your stuff. At Glenn Clark Radio for me, Glenn Clark Radio will be on Monday and Tuesday this week. The only day we're off this week is Wednesday. So we'll be on every other day but Wednesday this week for New Year's Day. We'll be on every other day this week. And, of course, tomorrow morning, Bradley and Nikki Bozeman join us. They do every Monday. And we'll have some other stuff for you on a Monday edition of GCR. So we will see you then. Ravens win. They're 14-2 to finish up the regular season. And now they look ahead to divisional round. We'll see you then. This has been the Project Game Day postgame show from the Live Casino Hotel Studio of Press Box.